Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. You know, we've all been watching the past several weeks of protests and riots and occupations and other lawless acts being committed with almost no effort by government officials in the affected cities to stop it. And we know the reason behind these movements, and yes, I agree that what the officer in Minneapolis did was 100% wrong, and he's going to face a trial over that. But that's no excuse for destroying private citizens' property or taking the lives of other innocent people or defying all law and order in other various ways. I mean, that's just a sign of anarchy being loosed in America. And the thing I've noticed is this. There are almost no pastors or ministers of the gospel that are speaking out on the national news condemning these actions. Why is that? Well, my guest today is going to answer that question and many others that I have that go along with those lines, such as, why would Christian African Americans forsake their children, their spouse, their communities, including their faith in God, and support the anti-God Democrat Party? Well, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Vince Ellison is someone who's lived the tough life and achieved great things. He was born on a cotton plantation in Haywood County, Tennessee, to parents who, at the time of his birth, were sharecroppers. I mean, his father, through perseverance and faith in Christ, succeeded and prospered in the insurance industry. Praise God. I sold insurance for almost 7 years after I left the Army before I became a police officer. It's not easy. And Vince became part of the Ellison Family Gospel Singing Group when he was in grade school, and the group continued to perform even through his college years at Memphis State University. He gained broad exposure in the black church and gospel music community during this time also. Now, through his experience in gospel music, Vince gained an intimate knowledge of the inner workings and the failings, unfortunately, of many black ministers within the black church. He gained a real-world perspective on things when he became a correctional officer at a maximum security prison in South Carolina. He also has worked in the nonprofit area with many African-American civic organizations, but experienced the true underworld of politics in the 2000 election cycle when he became the Republican nominee for the 6th Congressional District in South Carolina. Through all of this, Vince Ellison has received a unique insight and is able to recognize, dissect, expose, and answer many of the questions regarding race, religion, politics, and the things that you see on TV that has been dogging America for years. And he's the author of the best-selling book, The Iron Triangle, Inside the Liberal Democrat Plan to Use Race to Divide Christians in America and Their Quest for Power and How We Can Defeat Them. Folks, you need to get this book. I'm telling you, it is absolutely awesome. Help me welcome to the program, Vince Everett Ellison. Vince, thank you for taking the time to come on and program and join us today.
Pastor Thibodeau, it is my honor, and I am so happy to speak with you and your beautiful audience tonight.
Amen. Vince, I always start with this question first. Other than that brief information that's impressive that I just shared, can you tell us in your own words, who is Vince Ellison?
Well, Vince Ellison is a child of God. I'm a Christian, number one.
Amen.
I've never been shaken from my core belief. And I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I'm an American. And as I owe everything to my God, my parents, and my country, and I don't back down from it not one single solitary bit. And this is why I'm really so troubled by what I see. As a Christian pastor, we know that Jesus mandated that we forgive. It wasn't an option with this.
That's right.
He mandated it, and he said, "As we forgive, he'll forgive us." And when we see the hatred and we see the anger and we see the burning and the rioting and the looters, and supposedly this is coming from the Christian community, we have to stop and we have to wonder what's going on, what has happened to our people. So I wrote this book, and I found out, you know, after I left the prison system and went down to try to keep black men from going to prison and all men from going to prison. They had told me that it was these rich, white, dirty Republicans that were locking these men up. Mm. When I went down there, I found out there were actually three entities involved. It wasn't any white Republicans down there when I went to the back of it. It was all black Democrats. Mm. And I saw three of them in particular that was making a lot of money off the chaos. Most black preachers, most black politicians, and most black civic organizers. Mm-mm. Not all. Yeah. Most. Now, you know what Jesus said. He said there's going to be a time when these people are going to come representing me, but yeah, they're wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, that's right.
And he said they're going to be so good that they're going to fool the very elect.
They're going to
do great miracles and great wonders and all this. And his disciples said, Lord, how shall we know them? He said, by their fruits.
Yep.
He didn't say by what they do, by what they say. He said by their results.
Yeah,
and when you look at the black community, and when you look at the fruits, and if you say that the fruits are rotten, the tree has to be rotten also. And the tree is the iron triangle, and that's what I'm writing about. This is how we stop it, expose it, and then dissect it and get rid of it.
Amen, amen. And I want to jump right into this book. I mean, we talked before we started the recording that when you wrote this book, although the context. I mean, it would have probably caused a few eyebrows to be raised, you know, but talk about the timing. Who'd have thought it would be so relevant for such a time as this? I mean, you basically called this game plan we're seeing played out right now, right?
Yeah, man. And I was on Sean Hannity in February. I was debating Trayvon Martin's lawyer, and I told him what they were going to do. I said, you guys are going to look over thousands of black murders by other black men. And you're going to wait for that golden kill. Mm-hmm. And that golden kill was a white man killing a black man. And you're going to take it. You were going to go straight to the, you're going to go hard with it all the way to election day. Because you have to make black people feel that America hates them. You have to tell them that they're victims. You have to tell them if you don't elect us, these white Americans are going to kill you. And it's all a lie.
Yeah.
It's all a ruse. They don't care about black lives.
Yeah.
See, my book, my book came at this time because I knew it was coming. It was like a Mike Tyson left hook. You know it's coming. Like, you know Mike was going to throw it. You got to be prepared for it. And so I knew it was coming, and right when it came, my book hit, and it is the anti-Black Lives Matter book.
Amen.
So we see these leftists giving millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter, right? And we're like, oh, Lord, what do we do? Buy the Iron Triangle. Y'all can go to my website at irontrianglebook.com.
Amen.
Irontrianglebook.com. And I will tell you the history. See, we got to arm ourselves, not just complain. You arm yourself with knowledge.
Yeah.
You get yourself a weapon. What did he say, put on the whole armor of God?
That's right.
You have to arm yourself with the knowledge.
Right.
And then you go out there and you do battle so you know who you're fighting against. And right now, we think we're fighting just Democrats. No, there are black traitors in the middle of the black community that do their bidding. Tim Kaine doesn't go down to the black community.
Right.
These white senators don't go down there. They send their Iron Triangle house Negroes down there, and they do their bidding, and they have the black community in a vice. They're committing a cultural genocide right now.
Mm.
They said, if you give us your children, we'll educate them. They lie.
Yeah.
If you kick out your men, we'll provide for you. They lie.
Yep.
If you give us our guns, if you give you your guns, we'll protect you. They lie. The Brookings Institute came out with a study that said if you do three things, there's a 98% chance that you will not be in poverty. These three things were graduate high school, get a full-time job, and before and don't have a baby until you're married at 21.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you have a 98% chance of never living in poverty. And what does the Democrat Party do? They undermine every last one of them. They give you sex education before you can crawl. They destroy the educational system so you don't get a good education. And they've allowed all this crime and drugs in the neighborhood so you can't have any type of business or commerce.
Wow.
And these people are in a dystopia right now. And this is exactly what they want. They look at the statistics, and the statistics say there has not the Post, Washington Post did a story that said there has not been any narrowing in the wealth gap between black and white people since 1968. Harvard did a study, and the DNC even recognized the study that said that the schools are more segregated now than they were before Brown versus Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
We have 10 times more black men in prison than we did in the 60s. The black family has been completely almost destroyed from 80% being born in wedlock to 80% mm-hmm. being born out of wedlock.
Yeah.
And the Democrats say they're proud of what they've done in the black community. Joe yeah. Biden said, I'm proud of my record. He yep. said, I'm proud of it.
Yep.
So they're not going to change a thing. As long as they get 90% of the black vote, they will not change a thing.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, I could probably list 100 questions, but I'm going to start with this one. I hinted at it in the intro. Why does the African-American Christian community continue to support the anti-Christian, pro-abortion, and everything else anti-Christian, anti-American Democrat Party? Why? I don't understand that.
There are two reasons behind it. One is the cultural reason. The Democrat Party has had complete control of the black community since its inception in 1800. Except for maybe 5 years during Reconstruction, they've always had absolute control, as they do now. During that time, you develop a cognitive dissonance and a Stockholm syndrome where you identify with your oppressor. We all know about it, with the burning bed syndrome when you have wives and without a wife syndrome and the Stockholm syndrome,
yeah.
where people can be oppressed to a point where they really start identifying with the people that oppress them. This little girl that got kidnapped, I can't think of her name without saying my life. It's in my book. But the little Mormon girl that got kidnapped in Utah, she had taken on the identity of her captor.
Yeah.
When they captured her, they had to unbrainwash her. Yeah. Patty Hearst did the same thing.
Yep. That's
so
right.
you take on the identity of your oppressor. And so during the Civil Rights Movement, we saw that black people were fighting to integrate with people that said they hated them, the Ku Klux Klan, the White Citizens Council. They would shoot them with water hoses, sticking dogs on them. But they wanted to send their children to their schools. They wanted to sit beside them in toilets. They wanted to eat with them at lunch counters. So, of course, if they fought for that when they got the opportunity to vote, who were they going to vote for?
Yeah.
The party of the slave master. Mm-hmm. And so the white Democrats thought that blacks were going to vote the way they voted during the Reconstruction, but they didn't. It even surprised them. And when they had to allow black people in their primaries and had to allow them and had to let them vote, they said, well, we're going to control the vote. So what did they do? They weren't going to allow Malcolm X to run for office in the Democratic primary in the South. So they went to the well of their old House Negroes that they've used for years, and they chose from them. And said, your job is instead of having black people pick cotton now, your job is to pick votes and make sure that we get 90% of that black vote. And they use the people that black people trusted, the black preacher, the black civic organizer, and the black politician. And they said, now vote for the Democrat Party, which was easy anyway, because we were already suffering from Stockholm syndrome and cognitive dissonance. Instead of curing us from it, they took advantage of it. Also, the second part of it is that it's this old vaudevillian term. It says 90% of any gig is just showing up.
Yeah.
The Republicans and the conservatives just won't show up.
Mm.
And this is where we have to fix our part of it. Jesus did not go to the Romans and to
That's
Herod
right.
to spread his message of the gospel.
That's
he
right.
didn't go up to Herod and say, look, Herod, I need your help to help me take my message to the Gentiles and the Jews. You're going to help me out? No.
Yeah.
He went out and started doing it. And sent right. out his disciples to continue it. And he changed Rome, and now the Vatican is there.
Yeah.
This is what we must do. We have to stop asking government to do what we do. We got to stop asking
right.
for tax credits, school choice vouchers. If they give it, that's fine.
Yep.
But if they don't give it, we still have to go.
Amen.
And my book talks about how we can talk to our brothers and sisters that are locked down there in these areas. Black and white. There are white people down there, too.
Oh, yeah. That's
Hispanic,
right.
Hispanic, uh-huh. black, white. We have to go down there and start evangelizing and doing missionary work like we did in the old days and bringing our people out of bondage. So we have our part to play. The Democrats are the aggressors, but we right now are bystanders. And we have the ability to come in and help out. You know, you got a fight going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
One guy's just getting the mess beat out of it. And you're kind of standing there as a bystander. You have the ability to go in and help, but you just sat and watched him just get his brains beat out.
Yep.
Now, you might think that the guy might jump on you if you help, but you're still just watching. And that's what we do, and that's what we're guilty of. And right now, as the left is spending all this money on Black Lives Matter, we have to start doing our part. Part of it is buying this book so you will know what you're fighting.
Amen.
How to defeat them, and then go to war.
Well, you know, you mentioned Black Lives Matter. I mean, they've been speaking boldly, you know, about its support for, you know, pro-abortion rights, gay rights, and everything else that's anti-Christian in nature. Yet, that organization is supported by almost every single African-American church. Why would these pastors forsake God like that?
Because many of them never ever was with him. You know, we all know that Satan, how he works. He don't have to go to the streets anymore. He got the streets.
Yeah.
He goes into the church now. Jesus' last prayer before he went to the cross was for unity.
Yeah.
He talked to his disciples about the unity. And because he knew how he was going to come at us, how Satan was going to divide us. And he goes into the church and he grabs these young pastors and, you know, it started in the civil rights movement, Pastor Thibodeau. It's hard for me to say, but this is where my research took me. The Marxists and the communists that were involved in the civil rights movement, they went in, they infiltrated it, they took it over. Matter of fact, they recruited Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Abernathy, Andrew Young. They recruited all of them, and they trained them at this school called the Highlander Training School up in the mountains of Tennessee. Mm. And it was a communist training school, just a straight-out period. It was. And when you start looking at some of the rhetoric that was used in the civil rights movement, you can see it was Marxist. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
They asked Larry King, what was his favorite interview out of all the thousands that he had done? And he said it was Martin Luther King Jr. 1965. He said he was in Tallahassee, Florida, and he was going to integrate this hotel. And when the white clerk would not give him the room, they called the police, and King sat down and waited for the police in the doorway. And when the police officers came up, they asked him what he wanted. And King said, "I want my dignity." Now, I hate that story because it implies that you can get your dignity from another man, and you can't.
Right.
Your dignity is yours.
Amen.
They can't take it from you. You can give it away, but that'll be your decision to do it.
Yeah.
But they cannot give you your dignity. During the March on Washington, he said that 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, the Negro is still not free. That is a lie. I was born free.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask the black Americans right now, who gave you your freedom, close to 100% will say Abraham Lincoln, and they will not say Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, how do you think that make him feel when you say that he who the Son is free indeed?
Yeah.
I freed you. The truth will make you free, and I bring you the truth. Your freedom is an unalienable right given to you by God. It's irrevocable, non-transferable, and unsellable. He said that we come here to government to ask for our unalienable rights.
Yep.
Those rights come from God. Our whole system of government is based upon the fact that these rights come from God. It comes from John Locke's Second Treaty of Government.
Yep.
When he said that we were put here to do God's will.
Amen.
God made us all equal. And therefore, the king has no power over us. And that we have a right to preserve ourselves, our property, because to preserve ourselves means we're preserving ourselves to do God's will.
Mm-hmm.
You take away God, all that goes. And King says that we come to government for those rights. No. And it led black people down a primrose path.
Mm.
The black preacher telling us to no longer go to God, but go to government.
Yeah,
this is how we screwed this thing up. Now all of them want to be Martin Luther King Jr. And they're all preaching the same thing. Not God, but government. Not God, but government. They don't teach forgiveness. The stuff happening in the street is not of God.
That's
this looting and pillaging and killing. But he told us to forgive. He demanded it.
Amen.
Forgive. You cannot be a victim and be a Christian.
Yeah, I grew up, you mentioned the civil rights movement. I grew up outside of Detroit in the 60s and 70s. Mm. And I remember the riots. And I remember a lot of racism or race problems. I remember the assassination of Robert Kennedy. And, of course, Martin Luther King Jr. I remember most of that, even though I was only 9 or 10 years old at the time. The other day, Joe Biden was saying that the murder of George Floyd is even bigger than what happened to Martin Luther King. Did he say that just for political points, or was there something else behind that, like a coded message?
They want to make it that big because this is their moment. They want to make it that big. They need a martyr, you know, they love martyrs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, George Floyd is dead, but what people need to understand is that what we saw happen to that man was a visual representation of what the Democratic Party has been doing to black people, especially black men, for the past 220 years.
Ooh,
George Floyd's life is a microcosm of Democratic liberal policy in the city. First, they helped destroy his family as a child. They broke up his mom and his daddy, probably paid his mom to leave his daddy. You know, that's what they do.
Yeah.
She took him, grew him up as a single mother in a housing project down in Texas, Houston. And what happened there? He grew up around crime, violence, sent him to a public school. They didn't give him an education. He left out when the college couldn't finish because he didn't have a good education. When he got to college, couldn't find a job. Got a life of crime.
Mm-hmm.
Arrested 4 or 5 times and finally got a long stint of 5 years in the penitentiary. He comes out of the penitentiary, criminal, can't find work. They disarm him. He's walking around on drugs trying to pass a forged $20 bill because he can't work, don't have any money. They destroyed his life, the Democrat Party has. And then what do? They kill him. They've done that to black men for 220 years in this country. And what you saw happen to him was a visual representation of what they've been doing to my people ever since they've been a party. And they have never existed where they did not demand the legal right to commit murder. Mm-hmm. Whether it was slavery from 1800 to 1860, the Civil War from 1860 to 65, Jim Crow from 65 to 1965, and now abortion.
Yeah.
They have never been in a position. They have to commit murder because they are a party of darkness.
Yeah.
And they're doing it still. And they're not going to stop until we make them.
Now, in the Iron Triangle, in your book, I mean, you call what the Iron Triangle as a unholy trifecta. Can you explain that a little bit more detail to our listeners?
Yeah. They hide the origin of a lot of these elements in the black community. You know, they hold up the NAACP as some holy organization that's done all this great work, you know, for years. When you look at the actual results of these organizations, you see that the black community hadn't gotten any better behind any of them.
Right.
I mean, we did Brown versus Board of Education. They celebrated, but the schools have gotten worse. The schools are not integrated. So why are you celebrating Brown, right? The schools are not integrated, and the education system has gotten worse.
That's right.
They celebrate it. You know what I mean? It's all myth. It doesn't mean anything. They take the black preacher who's held up as this symbol of virtue. But everybody in the black community understands, and they've made jokes about this for the last 40 years, that most people see them as what they are, but charlatans.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at the condition of the people and know that it's true.
Yeah. Amen.
So you look at the results, and you have to come away with the fact that they're not pivoting and changing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're doing something wrong and you recognize that it's wrong, you say, okay, let's change this because it's not going wrong. But if you continue to do it consciously and knowingly, this is the result that you want. This is a carpet bombing. And the people on the ground and the people dropping the bombs see success very differently. The carpet bomber is trying to destroy. The people under the bombs are trying to survive. What does the Democrat Party want? They want to bomb. They want control. They want to keep things exactly as they are. And when they look at their statistics, they're looking at them completely different than the way you and I look at them. Mm. We look at a school and say, well, this school is supposed to be producing people that can read, write, and go out and get a job. They said this school is supposed to produce slaves, people that cannot read, write, or take care of themselves. We say the family has to be sustained so that these young men can grow up strong and proud and raise their families and be able to defend their communities and defend their country. They say the black family has to be set up where the men are weak, where they're docile, where they are fighting one another, where they hate one another, and where they cannot destroy them, cannot take care of their families or protect their communities. We see it differently, but we don't know these people are our enemies. That's what the Iron Triangle does. It tells you that because they deflect so well. You know, they're trying to blame Donald Trump for 220 years of problems, right?
Yeah, right.
Trying to blame Trump. And because they get paid, they are the enemy, and they are, in many ways, they're as evil as they come because they have created a dystopia, and they're committing fratricide in the black community. And they know it, and they don't care. That's why I call them evil.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of the interview with Vince Ellison, and he has given us a lot of inside information. And, you know, I've been saying for several years now that the main fault of what is going wrong with society today lies at the church door and in the pulpit, that the pastors themselves are the ones who refuse to stand up for the Word of God. And Vince Ellison has given us the absolute facts. I mean, you're talking 100% truth here about what is going on behind these riots, what is going on with the racial divide in the air, what is going on in America's inner cities and has been for the last 50, 60 years. And like he said, actually from the Civil War Reconstruction period. Folks, you need to come back tomorrow for the rest of this interview, because we're just getting into the deep stuff right now. What you're going to hear, a lot of liberals and a lot of African Americans and African American leaders, the Democrat leaders, they'll negate all of it. They'll say, nope, it is not happening. But if you actually sit down and study what he's saying and compare it to what you see and what you know is going on, it is 100% spot on. There is no other explanation except exactly what he's sharing with us. And it's all in his book. You need to go down in the show notes, click the link, get his book right now today. Get 3 or 4 copies. Let's start educating America. This is the reason why we cannot allow the Democrats to take over this nation. They will totally destroy this nation if they get reelected in the fall of 2020. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. Till tomorrow, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.